Turn your Bibles this morning to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Yeah, Brother John Mark is telling a story. You led me into it. This is not going to be spiritual, but it's. I was hearing him tell this story about riding around on the Copperhead. Well, if y'all remember, a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, Brother John Mark was talking about, was it eighth grade that you got the Velcro shoes?
Yeah,
so he was talking about eighth grade for school. He got Velcro shoes, and I just remember calling Mom on that Thursday. We're talking about it. And I said, Mom, I said, Velcro shoes in eighth grade. She said, yeah, I was waiting for him to learn how to tie his shoes. So it's not surprising that when did you learn, 10th grade or 11th grade? 11th, all right. So he had to have Velcro. That was the whole problem. But anyway, I could just see. How's your garage, by the way? It's fine. You rode over the snake and didn't. All right, just making sure. I'm with him on the snakes. I'm the same way. If I can take it with a car, I'll do it with a car. Daniel chapter 9, we'll read verse 16. And it says this, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, God, what just a wonderful day to be in your house, Lord. And I thank you for this place. Lord God, it's just a special place. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. We had a great Sunday school hour, and then, Lord, even church, Lord. And Lord, just love a place, Lord, that desires to worship God, and that desires, Lord, to do it right. And, Lord, not perfect, Lord God, but just a place where we can come and worship you and, Lord, sing to you and have songs sung about you, and then, Lord, go to your word. And, Lord, how refreshing that is in a world, Lord God, that unfortunately is led around by sin and led around by those things, Lord, that are wrong. And, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you grow our number here, Lord, and those that are, Lord, desiring to do what's right and desiring to be a place, Lord, where we can come and worship God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We pray that you'd be with the message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Jason and Mandy. Even for the abuse I take, all right. You expect it from your older brother, you know, so that's just the way it is. But also, thanks for the music, man. Appreciate the choir and the special music, Mrs. Antic, and then the offertory with Mrs. Hayes and Amber. So thank you for the music. Daniel chapter 9, and we read verse 16 there. Now, last week, we talked about what Memorial Day. At all that's going on around us, and good, I'm on now, and we see all the sin, the wickedness, and we can just sort of say, hey, that's the way it's going to be, or as we talked about last week, we can decide, I don't want it to be that way for my children, for my grandchildren, for my family. I want to take a stand for what's right, and we mentioned last week, the Bible says the story of Phinehas there in the book of Numbers. And how he came out of the congregation, took a stand against sin. And the Bible says, turned the wrath of God away from the nation of Israel because of the stand he took. And I really believe this. In this day and age, if we'll take a stand for what's right, we can turn the wrath of God from this country and from this place. If we'll do what's right, and God's looking for the people of the church to obey and to do those things that we should. And so this morning, I want to talk about that subject again, a little different response here from Daniel. As we mentioned in the story last week, that was the nation of Israel, and they had just gotten away from God. They were wandering in the wilderness there. We get to this story this morning, and Daniel is in a land of captivity. The people that are in charge are not Christian. All right, they're not saved. They're not the leadership is not following God. And what's happened is, as the Israelites have become in captivity, they're in captivity there to the Babylonians, then the Israelites have gotten away from God. And that group that knew, the group that Daniel was brought with and that knew better. And yet these Israelites had turned away from God as well and sort of were following the culture. I'll be honest with you, a lot like we see in churches today, where churches are following the culture rather than the Word of God. And what the culture says, they'll just continue to go down that road. And so Daniel, as he is looking to what can he do about it, right? What can he do about it in trying to be a help and turning the wrath of God away, not just from the Babylonians, because that's the world. That's those that are unsaved. But he's talking about the nation of Israel, his people. And Daniel has an answer for that. And we read that there, and as we read in verse number 16, he says, "Let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem." So how does Daniel go about that? Well, last week he mentioned what Phinehas did is he got up and he took a stand. He saw sin. He saw it taking place and he took a stand against that sin, and God blessed that. What Daniel does, he sees what's going on around him. And so what steps does he take? He gets down on his knees and prays for his country. Let me tell you, something that's going to turn the wrath of God away from America is people in churches like this getting on their knees and praying to God and asking God to turn. And Daniel does that. In fact, I was telling them this morning in prayer meeting, don't you, look at the wickedness around you, aren't you sick and tired of getting all this, these businesses falling all over them, all over themselves to celebrate Pride Month this month? Aren't you just sick and tired of seeing that and hearing it? I'm tired of it. They're all catering to the homosexual crowd. By the way, that's wicked ungodliness, all right? The homosexual crowd is not just, well, we want to make sure we're inclusive and be nice to everybody. No, that's wicked sin against God is what it is. It's an abomination for God, and we don't hate the sinner, but we sure are going to preach against the sin. And you see them catering to that and just trying to do everything they can. And I thought this week, as I was thinking about this, and so I mentioned to our men this morning, in our prayer meeting, here's what we're going to do at Gilgore Baptist Church. As they're out there, the world's celebrating that stuff, we're going to designate this month as prayer month here at Gilgore Baptist Church, right? This is going to be prayer month. Because we're going to pray against the sin that's out there and for our country. And so I mentioned this morning, I mentioned to you, this usually we do once a month Sunday morning prayer meeting. Month of June, we're doing it every Sunday morning. We started this Sunday morning. We're going to do it 7:45 for the next 3 weeks, and then, of course, we'll do it July 4th week, and we'll be praying for our country. 7:45, praying for our country. And let me tell you, some of you need to be out here. Hey, you'll rant and rave about a bunch of junk that they have out there, and yet you won't come and pray about it. Hey, let's come and pray about it. Now, you don't have to be here to pray about it, or you can pray wherever you want to. But, hey, let's not spend all our time complaining about how wicked the world is, and yet what are we doing about it? Daniel said, I'm going to do something about it. He said, I'm going to pray. I know it's a little sacrifice to get up a little early on a Sunday morning, but Daniel said, I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray for my people and for the Israelites. And so in verse number 16, I want to show you what he says here. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because what's the reason his fury is there? Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, thy people, are become a reproach to all that are about us. Daniel says, here's the problem. The problem is our sin. And by the way, Daniel's not talking about the Babylonians. He's talking about the Israelites. And he even says, our sin. Daniel, and throughout this whole prayer, and there's nobody more perfect and upright, not sinless, but as far as righteous before God as Daniel was. And yet Daniel includes himself because he knows he's a sinner as well. We're all sinners. And he says, listen, it's our sin. Hey, you know what the problem is? The problem in our country today is not just the homosexual movement or other. The problem is the church. The church. And the church not taking a stand in many ways like it should. And those that are in the church live in the same way as those that are in the world. And there's no difference between the way the church is and the way the world is. And the world comes and goes to the church and comes inside and says, man, they're doing the same things we're doing. And they look the same, they act the same, they talk, their language is the same, they go to work and they act the same way. They're just as dishonest as someone. And boy, there should be a difference in the way we live as Christians and those of the world. They don't have the truth, we do. And so we want to make sure we're liberated. He says it's our sins. He says the iniquity of our fathers. I'll be honest with you. The problem is not just this next generation. The problem is my generation that got us in this stuff. And the generation before us. I've got grandparents who have homosexual grandkids who think it's okay. That's a problem. I've got people that are older than me that are buying into all the junk that's out there in the world. I'm talking about people that profess to be Christians. And yet because, you know, they want to be looked at as something by the world, they're willing to, listen, it's for each of us, for our generation, for the next generation to take a stand on God's word and to stay true to what God has said and preach that and give that out to others. It says, I want that anger to be turned away. He says, that anger's there for our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers. At the end of verse number 16, and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Daniel says, I look and I see my people, I see the Israelites, and they become a reproach because of the way they live. And so that's the first thing that he prays. He says, turn your anger away from us. We know why it's there. Verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, the supplications, and here's the second thing he asked for, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Daniel says, listen, I want your anger and fury turned away from us, and I want your face to shine on us again. Go to Psalms chapter 80. Psalms chapter 80. Psalms chapter 80. And in this plea here in Psalms 80 that we have, several times the same phrase is mentioned. I want to just notice that. And as David writes here in Psalm chapter 80, look at verse number 3. It says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Go down to verse 7 of chapter 80. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then you go to the last verse of the chapter, verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. David, three times in that passage, says, turn us again. And you know, if we won't turn ourselves, God will turn us. And God will bring something to try to turn us back to him. And so we go back to Daniel. And Daniel, in chapter number 9 there, he says, Lord, I want your face to shine upon this sanctuary that is desolate. Man, don't you want God to look down here and see something? His face to shine here? His presence to be here in what we're doing? And we don't sit back and pretend, look, we're the only people that are doing right. Many other churches like this, not only in this area, but across this country, that are trying to preach truth and trying to do right. But boy, to have God look upon this place and his face to shine upon this place. And Daniel says, boy, that the house of God has become desolate. Boy, there's so many churches across this country that have become desolate. Not just in their numbers, not just that there's nobody there. No, in a lack of preaching the truth and a lack of the gospel being given out. And he says, cause thy face to shine a sanctuary that is desolate. And he says, hear the prayer of thy servant in verse number 17. Hear your servant's prayer. Boy, we pray that God would do that this morning. He says, let your anger, let your fury be turned away. And he says, cause thy face to shine upon this people. And then look at verse number 18. It says, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. Daniel says, Lord, open your eyes to this place. Hey, listen, hear. Open your ears to what's going on here. Hey, we want God, his attention to be here. And notice what he says there in verse number 18. He says, the city which is called by thy name. And you look down at the end of verse 19. He said, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Hey, we want to be the people of God, called by the name of God. And again, there's so many that are using the name of God, and yet they're using that and not following what God has told them to do. We want to make sure as we use the name of God, we are God's people. Man, we are the people that God can claim as his own. And I love what Daniel says here. Look at verse number 18, he says in the middle of the verse there, for we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness. Hey, this morning we're not going to God and saying, God, look how great we are. Man, it's not, hey, we're not going to say, God, man, turn your face here and see what we're doing for you, boy. We're really something here. No, Daniel's not saying that. He says, I'm not bringing this to you, God, so you can look down here and tell me what I'm doing. That's not my righteousness. No, what is he asking for? Into verse 18. But for what? For thy great mercies. Hey, you know what we need? We need God's mercy on us. We need God's mercy on our country. We need God's mercy on our church, on our families, on us. And we're not presenting ourselves this morning as something great to God. No, we're saying, God, be merciful to us. We need your mercy. Hey, if we're going to accomplish anything for God, we're going to have the mercy of God and plead for that mercy, because our righteousness is nothing. Verse number 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. He says, hear us, Lord, forgive us. Hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. Daniel's pleading to God to look at what they're doing, not so he can tell them how righteous they are, but instead to show his mercy. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and we use this, we'll get to a passage here in a minute that we use a lot for revival, and it's good for revival. A lot of times we pull that verse, which is fine. It's a verse that can be used. We don't always go to the context around the verse, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, you have really one of the longer prayers we have in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and that's given by Solomon as a king, as he dedicates the house of God. And Solomon built the temple and had those materials there. He built those. David collected those for him. Then Solomon was the one that actually was in charge of the building of the temple of God. And so a great celebration here of that. And you have a very, very lengthy prayer in the Word of God by Solomon. And so Solomon prays. I want you to go all the way to verse number 38 of chapter 6. And he's going through the nation of Israel and where they are then as they celebrate the temple being built. Verse 38, if they return to thee with all their heart, talking about the Israelites, if they go away and return, obviously this is several hundred years before the captivity in Daniel chapter 9, it says, they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity. Solomon's looking at it. He says, if there's a time when your people are brought into captivity. Now, Solomon didn't know all that was going to go on, but obviously centuries later, they would be in captivity, as we talked about in Daniel chapter 9. It says, if that happens, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Solomon says, if they'll pray for their country, if they'll pray for their city, if they'll pray even for God's house, the house that you've chosen here, verse 39, then hear thou from the heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And you see that phrasing a lot like what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9. But he says, God, I pray that you'd open your eyes and open your ears to what's going on in your house as the people of God get right. And then, of course, the passage we know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, we use a lot. We use that a lot. And most of y'all, if you haven't memorized it, you've heard it enough, where somebody starts it, you can probably finish it. In verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that, again, we'll take that verse and use it, and that's a promise from God. So it's fine to do, because that is God's promise as we do that and use that for whatever nation, but especially here as it applies to the nation of Israel. But it's interesting, that passage, Solomon asked for something. God, I want you to pay attention, please, to your house, and as those people, your people, that have gotten away from you, if they turn back, let your eyes be open, your ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Is it not to their actions, but to the prayer that's made in this place? And so we look at verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, as God answers this and appears to Solomon. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifices. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. He says, boy, if the trials come, if there's judgment, if there's persecution, because the people of God have turned away from me. Of course, then we go into verse 14. If that happens, and we think about in our country, those things have happened in our country, where the house of God, the people of God have gone away from God, and God sends persecution and sends judgment. And then the promise we have, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Look at verse 15. What did Solomon ask for? God says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto what? Unto the prayer that is made in this place. I really think, as God's people, if we offer up prayers to God, His eyes will be open, His ears will be open to this place. Because we take what the truth of God's Word says and we come before God and we get on our knees and we humble ourselves and we say, God, we need You. We need Your help. Man, we need You to turn Your wrath away from this place. Verse number 16, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Hey, I'm telling you what, if we want God to turn His face here, if we want God's blessing upon this place, we better be on our knees before God. We better be seeking God's will day by day. We better be, hey, man, what do we do? How do we stand up? We talked about it last week. Well, there's some things we can take a stand on, some truths we can stand on, and we don't need to sit back and allow the world to take what we're doing and mock that, and not, hey, we can take a stand for what's right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us standing up for the truth of God's Word. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what else we can do? We can also get on our knees for God. It doesn't just have to be, well, I want to take this action. That's great. But how about spending some time in prayer for your country, for your family, for your church? How about asking God, hey, look at this place. We need Your mercy. Go back to Daniel chapter 9, where we started at the beginning, verse number 16. O Lord, according to all Thy, not my righteousness, not ours, no, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem. And I want God's anger and fury. I don't know how long. We all know, again, we talked about last week, we can sit back and say, well, listen, you know, Revelation's coming, the tribulation's coming, and you know, God's going to deal with Israel, and all the other countries are going to be, America along with it, they're going to be cast aside, and God's going to deal with Israel. And listen, I know the tribulation's coming. Yeah, I know there's going to be I'm looking forward to the rapture coming, right? But it doesn't mean that I say, well, we can't do anything. I guess we'll just wait until then. No, we can still take a stand. No, we can still pray. We can still ask God, hey, in my lifetime, in my children's lifetime, my grandchildren's lifetime, please turn Your anger and fury away from this place. And not just give in and give up. And no, say, I'm going to take a stand. And I'm going to take a stand for what's right. I'm not going to just allow those that want to destroy my home, my family, my country, I'm not going to allow them to do that. I still love my country. I still love my family. I still love my church. I'm going to stand for them because I love God. And I know, listen, I'm on the winning side. I don't have to worry about that. But I don't want to just wait until, boy, I can't wait till heaven. I'm excited about heaven too, but God's put us here for a purpose. And let's not just give in and say we don't have to worry about anything until hey, no, we can take a stand. We can pray. And we can say, God, please turn Your face upon this place. Hey, take Your fury and Your anger away. Save us. Save our children, our grandchildren. Help them to have a place they can grow up in. Man, I think about, we've got people here that you grew up in the 50s and 60s. And you look back in the 50s and you say, man, what a country we used to have. Man, not everything was perfect. Boy, the majority of the people believed a lot of what's true. You know, people like me that grew up in the 80s, and even we look back and say, man, it wasn't like this. We can sit back and say, well, it's just the way it's going. It's going to keep going that way. Or we can say, hey, enough's enough. I'm going to take a stand for what's right. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to try to give the truth out to as many people as I can, and I'm going to be on my knees before God and make this a month of prayer. Hey, I'm going to pray a little extra this month for my family, for my country. I'm going to get out to prayer meeting this month, whatever. Because I'm not ready to give in to all that's going on around us. I'm not ready to give up my country. And 77 years ago today, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds hit that beach of Normandy, and they were willing, and many of them did, gave up their life for the freedom I have. Can you imagine those men looking at the next generation and say, you know, it's not really that important. I don't think I'm going to go do that. No, they said, we're going. We're going. Hey, I don't want to look at this group and say, you know, America's not really worth fighting for. I'm not talking about physically, although I think it's important to fight physically too. I'm talking about spiritually. Saying, you know, we just sort of let it go. Yeah, we let the homosexual crowd have it. We let the abortion crowd have it. We let all those people have it. No. No, I don't be like those guys 77 years ago that stormed the beaches and said, if we have to give everything, we will, for the freedom that we have in America. And I want to be able to say that to my kids and my grandkids. Listen, win or lose, we did everything we could to save that country for you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to not give in to what we see around us, and so easy to do that. Not just accept what the world's pushing, but instead, Lord, we take a stand on the Word of God. And Lord, sometimes that means we have to be bold, we have to not just agree with all that goes on around us. But it's also more than that, Lord. It's not just that. It's praying, getting on our knees before you, and realizing that change can take place because we're attentive in our prayers, because we're paying attention to what's going on and lifting up our family and our home and our church and our country to you. And well, we can also turn your anger and fury away from this place, from this country, by praying. Lord, help prayer. It's something that's not always easy to do. Lord, help us to take time and pray. Lord, hopefully they're already doing that, but even more, be focused on that, praying for others, as we talked about a little bit today, and then praying for our country, for our families. Lord, something all of us can do. And I pray we would be willing to do that for this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, and nobody looking around, and let me ask you this, this is not really as much of a salvation message this morning, but if you're here this morning and you say this, you say, I know I'm saved. You know, I know I'm on my way to heaven. If I was to die today, I'd wake up in heaven. I'm not planning on it, but if it happens, I know for sure that I'd wake up and spend eternity in heaven. If you could say it this morning, you just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning and you say this, you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. And I want to do right and live right and all that kind of stuff, but I couldn't say for sure what's going to happen to me. We've seen so much in the past year, year and a half of fear of what's coming beyond the grave. And you say this morning, I don't really think about it a lot, but I don't know what would happen if I was to die. If you like that this morning, I promise you, I will not embarrass you at all. I will not call on you. I just want you to be honest for God and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If you're like this one, just slip your hand up and say, I'm just not sure. I won't embarrass you at all. I promise that. Say, pray for me. Let me ask you this morning, how much are we willing to do for our family, for our country, for our church? Are we willing to take a stand, as we talked about last week? Hey, are we willing to pray, sacrifice a little bit and pray? Man, how far are we willing to go? As music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you, you come forward. Thank you.
good. And mentioned it in the message this morning, so we'll do prayer meeting the next three Sunday mornings in June, 7:45 for the men. Just want to mention this to those that were here this morning. I'm not going to put that on Ms. Antic and the ladies. So we won't do a full breakfast. We'll do some breakfast, little snacks or something like that. It won't be the full. So if you're coming for the breakfast, all right, it'll be okay, but it won't be as good as it usually is. But we will do that for the next 3 weeks. Anyway, if you can make an effort, that'd be great. It's something we can do. Pray for our people here. And, man, Brother Winfield, good to see you. Man, good to see you make it back in. We're going to do, we're going to have baptism, all right, have that. So just take a minute so y'all can stay where you are for a couple minutes.